Good morning, everyone. Good to see you again today. I really enjoyed the piano music. I especially like the piano music from the hymns, like for the offertory. You know, most of the time our singing kind of drowns out the music. So when you just hear the melodies, it's really, it makes it nice. Well, welcome to the Feast of Pentecost to each one of you. Let me get started here with my message. The title of my message is The Mind of Christ. The Mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? What does the mind of Christ have to do with this holy day? Is the mind of Christ something we should be seeking? Are you closer to having the mind of Christ now than you were before your baptism? But before we get started with that, one thing I always like to do for a holy day is go back to where we read about the holy day itself. Should be a reminder to us. So we turn to Leviticus 23, where we read about this holy day specifically. So if you'll turn to Leviticus 23 and verse 15, where it says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed." Well, we know that yesterday completed the 7th Sabbath, and therefore today is the day of Pentecost. "Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord, and you shall bring from your dwelling 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year, without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams, and they shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord. Hold on a minute here. For their grain offering made by fire for the sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs the first year." Hold on a second here. I'm having difficulty with my... This hasn't happened before. You know, computers are great when they work, but when they're not working, it acts like I want to add more to my message here. Dropping on down. "They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you." So here we are. This is a holy convocation. "You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap. Nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." You know, it's interesting that that verse is put in here with the passage about the Pentecost. You know, that we're to be generous with what we have, that we don't glean everything, but that we give back. I think it's interesting that it was part of this passage of Scripture. So now I want to go into the main part of this message. So let's look at the Bible and explore what this book has to say about the mind of Christ and the special link to this day. Let me ask that question once again. What is the mind of Christ? If you'll turn now to 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 13. These things we also speak, 1 Corinthians 2:13, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Have you considered that statement? If I said your name, you have the mind of Christ. You know, if you're baptized and you have God's Holy Spirit, that's the connection to that, the mind of Christ. But let's look at the awesome power of God. I think it's very important for us to look at the power of God, considering where we're at in the world today. If you'll turn to Isaiah 40 in verse 9. Isaiah 40, verse 9. It says, go up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. You know, do we consider that God is shepherd? He's shepherding you. He's shepherding me. You know, sometimes I think we can just read over scriptures and not really focus in. What does that mean, that God is shepherding over you? He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him, with whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? You know, there's a purpose why he's saying this. And it's a purpose that really comes down to our age when we think about it. And showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. You know, we get so worked up about things that we see in the world. Where's God? But look how God considers it, you know? It's a drop in the bucket. And are counted as the small dust on the scales. That shows how awesome our God is. From Benson's commentary, it says, who has measured the waters? Who can do this but God? And this discourse of God's infinite power and wisdom is added to give them the greater assurance that he was able, as he had declared himself willing, to do those great and wonderful things which he had promised. And neither men nor false gods were able to hinder him. Think about that in our time frame. You know, we see world events, things seem to be getting crazy. But we have to put it in perspective. This perspective being this perspective. To God, he knows what's going on. You know, it's like the dust on the scales. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Whom did God either need or take to advise him in any of his works, either of creation or the government of the world? Were they not all the effects of his own soul wisdom? And so here's something from Benson's commentary. I think we have to take consideration. Therefore, though all the nations of the world should conspire and contrive against him. Do we see events in the world contriving to destroy religion? I think we'd have to say we do. But what perspective do we need to have? Those of us in this room, this is this perspective that we need to have. And opposes this work of his, as indeed they will do. Yet his own counsel shall confound all their devices. You know, that's why it's so important for us to come before God with our problems. You know, is there a problem any too big for God? No, there's not. And he will carry on his work in spite of them. So, you know, it's something for us to always keep in mind that God is way bigger than all of our problems, all of the world's problems. Now let's go back, continue back in Isaiah 40 in verse 17. Isaiah 40, verse 17. It says, all the nations are as nothing before him. You know, how deeply do we understand that? You know, I mean, it's here, but do we sometimes not give God enough credit? They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? Verse 19. An idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and casts it for its silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman. And isn't that what we see in the world? The physical things. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circles of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing. So when we see these things going on in the world, the craziness, how do we respond to that? Do we get worried about things, or do we rely on scriptures like this? Do we worship the God that has the ability to do everything that is necessary and fulfills his plan, and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Remember, we're talking about this in the context of the mind of Christ. You know, with the mind of Christ, we should be able to understand what God has in mind. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name. by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. You know, do we consider the individuality that we have, that God knows who we are? Or do sometimes we take it for granted that God is off somewhere? Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? So when we think about the mind of Christ, you know, we see here this passage, how great our God is. But we have to remember, who is the big cause of defiance to God and Christ and the truth? Who is that being that tries to disrupt all of God's plans? Well, we read what Christ, or what is said here in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, if you'll turn there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, we just read that passage in Isaiah. Do we firmly take that to heart? Or do we allow doubts by the being that has blinded the world and would have us be blinded also? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So now we want to go through several scriptures to talk about unity, the mind of Christ. What brings us, what is it that really brings us together? The unity that we have. So let's start in Philippians 1 in verse 27. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Well, what mind would that be? That one mind. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, if we all had the mind of Christ, would there ever be any divisions in the church? I think we know that. It's a rhetorical question. We know the answer. You know, if we all had the mind of Christ, we would. And we use that mind of Christ. It says we have it, but we have to use it. We wouldn't have any divisions in the church if we did that. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. You know, there's so many places that this is talked about, this one mind. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree together, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be united in mind and conviction. Well, where does that uniting come from? Well, it comes from the mind of Christ, if we all have the mind of Christ. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So how do we get that renewal? You know, how do we keep that mind of Christ? Well, we have the words here in Scripture, Holy Scripture. But if we never open the book, you know, we're going to go backward. It's through our study, our prayer, and a fasting that we get that renewal. Ephesians 4 and verse 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 verse through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, this verse 19 really describes the world we live in. And even more so as each passing month. But then look at verse 20. He started the sentence with but. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, that's that. Are we going to take on the mind of Christ, or are we going to take on the mind of the world? But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. In verse 23, I'm using a different computer because I left my computer at the either on an airplane or at the Atlanta airport. So I'm trying to buy with a tablet here. Sorry. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, that mind of Christ, that understanding that we get through God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You know, that's taking on the mind of Christ. Verse 6, the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the flesh cannot please God. But now, verse 9, it's talking about you and me here. You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. You know, this day pictures the bringing of the Holy Spirit so that all of us have access to it. through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, which lives in you." Well, that Spirit that's living in us, what is that? Well, we read it earlier, the mind of Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, we understand those things. In Romans 12, in verses 1 through 2, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, one aspect of having the mind of Christ, it would include being willing to laying down our lives for others. Laying down our lives for others. 1 John 3 and verse 16. 1 John 3:16. "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in deed and in truth." Well, think about when we read that passage in Leviticus 23. What did it talk about? It talked about leaving the corners of your fields. You see how this ties in with it? The Spirit of God. We should be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers. You know, maybe it's a physical way, by giving of what we have to others, just like it says in that passage in Leviticus. 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. Where it says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." You know, do we have the mentality that we're willing to sacrifice our lives? "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." That mind of Christ that was willing to give up His life for you and me. "For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." You know, this mind of Christ that we're talking about today, it's so important for us to consider and take to heart that we do have that. Just like that scripture says, you have the mind of Christ. What are we doing with it? How can we better use the mind of Christ that we have? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Where it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." You know, that the mind of Christ is not divided. We should not have divided minds ourselves. "And that there be no divisions among you, but yet you be perfectly joined together in the same mind." That mind of Christ that's perfect, perfectly joined together, "and in the same judgment." Don't Galatians 3, verse 27 says this, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Well, the Amplified Bible puts it this way, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ, into the spiritual union with Christ, the anointed, have clothed yourselves with Christ. That is, you have taken on his characteristics and values." You know, when we do we judge ourselves by ourselves, comparing ourselves to Jesus Christ and Christ living in us? You know, that's what we need to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. To put off the old man and take on the mind of Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the flesh which I now live in the flesh, the life now which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, that Jesus Christ living in you, do we take that for granted, or do we really appreciate that? You know, it's something for us to meditate on. You know, am I living fully, taking advantage of the mind of Christ? Or am I, you know, the world pushing me this way? Or is it, am I pushing myself towards Jesus Christ? Galatians 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, we can just keep going. There's so many other scriptures that talk about this. And it's a good study for all of us to look at. That one mind, the unity that we should have with Christ. Colossians 3:10, "And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Verse 11, "Where there is neither Jew or Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So what is that talking about? The fruits, you know, the mind of Christ that brings us all together, no matter who we are, no matter where we came from. Verse 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." What characteristics of the mind of Christ are coming up here? "Beloved, bowels of mercies." We can read, was Christ a merciful person when he was on earth? Of course he was. But you and I, taking on the mind of Christ, we're going to be merciful people. We're going to show kindness. We're going to be humble. You know, we're not going to be high on ourselves. You look at the example of Jesus Christ, who knew where he came from and knew where he was going, but he wasn't conceited. Of course not. He couldn't have been. Otherwise, he would have sinned. So the point is that if we fully have the mind of Christ, we're going to be humble people. We're going to be meek. We're going to be long-suffering. You know, that sometimes is really hard to do, to be a long-suffering person. It's like, when are you ever going to learn? We have to tell ourselves that. But that's what the mind of Christ is. It's long-suffering. Forbearing one another, verse 13. And forgiving one another. Maybe one of the hardest things to do is forgive, especially for people that continue doing these things. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So the mind of Christ is going to take on these characteristics. And it's going to be evident in the way we conduct ourselves. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says this. Finally, be you all of one mind. Well, what mind would that be? You know, we need to be of one mind, the mind of Christ. So what, as we continue here in this verse, what will be the fruits of having one mind, the mind of Christ? It says, having compassion, one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. These are, if you want to know if you have the mind of Christ, are you doing these things? Am I doing these things? You know, how do we rate ourselves? But contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that you are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. The Apostle Paul also tells us in Philippians 2, in verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2, it says, fulfill me my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Another scripture that's probably a memory scripture for a lot of us here is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, where it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of course, if we have the mind of Christ in us, we definitely are going to have a sound mind. In 2 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul, once again talking to the Corinthians, says, finally, brethren, farewell. You know, it's his goodbye message. Be perfect. If we have the mind of Christ, if we fully use the mind of Christ, would we be perfect? Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, there's so many places that we see here. Romans 8, verse 27, you don't have to turn there, just going to read it. And he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The mind of the Spirit. Do we have the mind of Christ or the mind of this world? You know, it's not easy for us to maintain that mind of Christ, because we're humans, we fail. The Apostle Paul understood this. If you'll turn to Philippians 3, we're going to read a passage here. You know, talking about this for you young people here in the room, you know, what an advantage it is to live your life, to grow up, to become baptized. Because by doing that, once you're baptized, what does it say? You have the mind of Christ. So you have that extra help that makes it things that you may not understand now, but that you'll understand after baptism. Philippians 3 and verse 12 through 17 says, not that I have already attained, How many of us in this room would say, I've already attained? I think none of us should say that. If we do say that, we have a problem. Or I'm already perfected. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, that's that taking on the mind of Christ. You know, it's a full-time job for us to do that. Verse 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. What mind is that? With that mind of Christ, we should actively be using that mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. For the sake of time, I'm going to go through some other ones. You can just write them down. Philippians 2, verse 1. We're told, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then it tells us, once again, things that we need to be doing. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have you thought about it? Do we really think about that mind of Christ? That we have that. Here again, it states that we should have the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it talks about what having that mind entailed. In verse 7, it said, but made himself of no reputation. So it was, you know, Jesus Christ was humble. The form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the Christ. So, a key here, having the mind of Christ involves humility. It's something that should be characteristic of all of us that have the Spirit of God. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, having the mind of Christ should make us confident, not conceited, humble, not arrogant, but wise and bold as necessary. You know, you look at the life of Christ here on earth. Was he bold at times? Yes, he was. But was he humble all the time? Yes. So what does the mind of Christ mean to you? How important is it to take on the mind of Christ? Knowing this, having the mind of Christ will cause the world to hate you. If you want, you can write down for scriptures to read on your own. Luke 21, 17. Matthew 24, verse 9, and Matthew 10, and verse 22. In Isaiah 40, and verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And where does that strength come from? They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. in Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We know this day pictures that fulfillment when the Holy Spirit descended on that crowd that day, and since then has been made available to mankind. So as we conclude this message, I want each one of us to meditate and take it this further for yourself, for your own study. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? And how should the mind of Christ influence our behavior and our thoughts each and every day? So let us all grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let our minds continue to grow into the fullness of the mind of Christ we see in Scripture. And as we've seen today, we are given access to that mind through the Holy Spirit that was first given to all mankind on Pentecost that we find in Acts 2.